your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to episode 219 of your favourite Formula One show. Yes, Jamie and I return back on a Monday or a Tuesday when this video is probably going live with more Knowing Wheel. Of course, before we've got a few random little bits and pieces to get through over the course of today's show. But of course, as always, first of all, JB183, how are we doing, sir?
I'm good. I'm back on a Monday morning. This time last week, I was on a Swiss Alp, absolutely loving life. So a little bit, my day's been brightened by talking to Matt, so put it that way.
Oh, thank you, sir. I mean, Jamie, of course, obviously just reminding us all there that, you know, he's a skier. he's going pro next year. He's going to be living out there. It's going to be fantastic for him. Meanwhile, the rest of us live our lives in a lovely grey. Actually, I'll tell you what, for the UK being grey at the moment, I drove home this morning as the sun came up.
Yeah, it's lovely outside.
It was quite nice. It's really cold, but it was quite nice. But anyway, we've got a few random bits and pieces to get through, haven't we, Jamie? You know, keeping up with the Formula One news. You know, we can get some clickbait in here, some clickbait in there. But of course, before we do that, I just want to say a massive thank you to everybody for the continued support on the podcast. We are still trying to hit 1K subs at the moment. We'd love to hit that before the Australian Grand Prix, which is in 4 weeks' time. We're currently at 828 subscribers. If we hit 1K, YouTube will allow us to start earning some money, and that way we can do more things with the show as well. So if you are listening and you aren't already, please make sure you hit that sub button as well, because we've got some hopefully exciting stuff that we want to do this year. But anyway, Jamie, timestamps as well, sorry, but down in the description if you just want to go to a couple of the important headlines from the show. But let's start then. We mentioned it last week, but we said we were going to properly dive into it this week. Car reveals. We've already had a couple of them, and they're actually 2025 cars, which I love at this stage of the regulations, because people aren't so worried about revealing their cars early anymore.
Yes, because we're at the end of a rule change cycle, so the cars are, you can pretty much predict how they're going to be, because they're reaching a ceiling. So yes, the McLaren and the Williams are both out. We're not aerodynamicists, let's put that one straight out there. We're not going to tell you about the airflow around the chassis and the side pods and the front wing, but we can do a little bit of that and pretend like we know what we're talking about. So the McLaren is here, it's got a different livery, and that's about as far as my technical knowledge goes.
Well, the camo livery, first of all, again, I reckon Formula One needs to impose that, like, one race of the year, everyone has to use camo liveries.
I'm still really sad that Red Bull
never did
off their US liveries for that
last
season.
Yes, they did. I forgot about that, didn't they? I think, like, I'll say it again, I've said it so many times, I still think Monaco should be thrown to a special livery weekend, just actually make the Monaco Grand Prix interesting.
You can't really do all of them having special liveries, because then if you're like, people just not know what car's what. It only really works if a couple of teams do it at a time, or if they're not that different.
Depends how good the livery is.
I didn't really like McLaren's Monaco livery this year, because it wasn't a McLaren livery, it was just a Senna tribute. Like,
I thought it was quite cool. Yeah, I mean, it was a little bit more F175, but then you say the reason why we still keep banging on about these special liveries is that Golf one they did a few years ago. Because
yeah,
that
golf
thing
one
was
cool.
The golf one was really... I'm still gutted Williams haven't properly gone down that route.
The Red Bull in Turkey 2021 was bad.
That was cool as well, yeah. It was Turkey and Japanese. One of the other races, wasn't it? Yeah. They didn't have time to bring it home.
It was only Turkey. It was because it was meant to be Japan for Honda, but then Japan got cancelled.
But I thought that was the whole point. It ended up being in like the Grand Prix after Turkey as well, because they couldn't... they didn't have time to get it down and bring it back again. But yeah, I mean, the camo livery, of course, that looks pretty cool. Of course, you know, as we said, most of the teams now, you're getting right up towards the ceiling of what's possible with these cars. So the McLaren doesn't look drastically different from last year's car, but there are definitely still some subtle changes. The front wing, the elements on the sides of the wing do look slightly different. are just slightly more aggressive. You know, it's just as you refine the airflow around, you know, the tyres and trying to bring it into, obviously, the ground effect part of the car as well. The side pods do, they're slightly raised, apparently, according to the race, which, again, it's that kind of thing that when you're looking at the car generally, you know, to the untrained eye, you're not going to notice any difference. But it's when you kind of compare it to last year's car, it's a fantastic thing of kind of spot the difference with the McLaren, yeah. Isn't it? Of it's similar. You can tell, obviously, this isn't a kind of revolution. It's more of an evolution of last year's car. But it does generally seem as well, doesn't it, Jamie, that Mercedes 2022, that zero side pod concept, has kind of been where no one else has really kind of gone to the same extremes. Probably Red Bull last year was still the closest we've seen. But it's almost like McLaren back in 2005, isn't it? Of they probably landed on what was almost the right idea, but just far too soon to be able to utilize it. Because this McLaren is starting to head that way.
It is, but also the Mercedes was, I think, too extreme based on these cars. You've got a really small like slit in the top that is quite wide, and the Mercedes didn't have that at all. But then, like, overall, the volume of the air intakes in the side pods is really small, so it's getting on for that Mercedes zero pod concept. So, yeah, but I think the problem is the Ferrari in 2022 and the Red Bull actually both launched this like bathtub style top of the side pod. Which is more where everyone's gone now. I know the Williams has it for 2025 and McLaren's got it still this year. And the problem with the zero pod Mercedes launched is you can't really have that space above the side pod with a big kind of bathtub style thing. So it's a bit of a merge of the two, really. The two concepts we saw mostly in 22 have kind of come together with a very small air intake, so more space for the ground effect under the side pod, but also this space on top, which teams like to use for aerodynamic efficiency as well. So, yeah.
Well,
that's
not
as
only,
technical as I'm getting.
I was saying, not only aerodynamic efficiency, but of course it was also cooling early on in 2022 still, wasn't it? Which obviously, you know, we saw on quite a few occasions just Mercedes felt, even on a track where they might have been quite strong, they were often quite limited in the end by the cooling as well there. But, I mean, like I've kind of hyped up McLaren before. Maybe I'm trying to jinx them for 2025, but I'd argue at the moment, if you're heading into the new regulations, obviously because so much of it early on is going to be based on, you know, your wind tunnel data and everything like that. As we've said before, McLaren in this generation, it feels like they're probably the only team that has seemingly not had a failed upgrade go on.
Yeah, they've been
and that's
great.
That's got to instill confidence, you know, in your wind tunnel and obviously looking towards the future as well. Obviously, it wasn't McLaren's wind tunnel for a while, but obviously they are transitioning.
But for sure, like, they are the most upwardly mobile team. Exactly. They're the only team that over the course of the whole ground effect era since 22 have been upwardly mobile the whole time.
Yeah,
and I guess you could argue the step from 22 to 23 was pretty poor, but that was more brake cooling and...
But they also
issues.
Knew and fixed it pretty quickly as well, didn't they?
Yeah.
You know, by the end of that year, they won a sprint, didn't they, in Qatar?
They did.
And, you know, it kind of springboarded, obviously, that 2024 championship as well. And, of course, you know, the big thing still is McLaren won as a customer last year. And that's kind of obviously proven that it is possible as well. So, yeah, exciting to see, obviously, McLaren over the course of 2025. And the other one, which the car itself was actually very, very interesting, wasn't it? In kind of everything they did with it. And I tell you what as well, I'd say I'm probably more of a Williams fan than you are, Jamie. I wouldn't even call myself a closet Williams fan, but because I do just like seeing them do well. But can we just appreciate for a second where Williams were last year at this point to where Williams are this year at this point has been a transformation, hasn't it?
Exactly. And yeah, I think James Vowles has been in there just over a year now. And he's
just over 2 years.
Is it 2 years, really?
Under 2 years, I think.
He's been, like, such a steady hand to be guiding that team. So, yeah, I do like James Vowles. I'm not a Williams hater in any stretch of the imagination, but You like them more, I think. But yeah, I like to see them. I like to see all the teams do well within reason, I think. But it's obviously someone's got to come last.
They didn't even come last year.
No, they didn't. But I hope they do this year.
I'll behave. Wouldn't you rather see an Alpine in last?
Oh yeah, I would. Yeah, but I'd rather see Sauber beat somebody. So,
here we go. Shocking.
The Williams. The main headline from the launch was just how cringe it all was.
I've only
seen a clip of YouTube Shorts, but it wasn't great. It wasn't great at all. And Alex Albon even got to the point of calling out how weird it was on stage, which is not a great look. So, yeah. I'm glad I didn't watch it live. And they're trying to force this bromance between Albert and Sainz when it's probably only going to be together 1 year. So, 1 or 2 years anyway.
Yeah, it's a little bit awkward. I mean, to be fair, they did the same thing with like Colapinto and stuff, and that was only 8 races, and the same with Sargent.
True.
That should have been about 4 races. I guess it's probably a strong point, though, isn't it? That, like we said, probably the highlight of the Williams reveal was actually the car, which is probably a good thing because, like you
and
said...
And Jenson Button.
Of course, obviously, Jenson Button. You sound like my girlfriend now. but, like, if you wanted one thing, like, it was a bit cringy. The audio was shocking as well in places.
Yeah.
Like, I did try and tune in, and the audio was giving me a banging headache within about 2 minutes. But if you wanted one thing to go well, the fact that on a live stream they took the car out and ran it for the first time, which they had the confidence to say, we're going to be able to do this, was pretty good going. And again, Williams kind of have done a bit more kind of radical changes to the car. But they have also, you know, I'm always kind of with James Vowles as well, impressed with the fact that obviously Williams kind of accepted last year. If honestly they were... I would argue they were still unlucky not to finish 8th overall because they were better than Alpine throughout a lot of last year. Of course, you know, we point all of it at Brazil, but actually Qatar would have made the difference anyway, I believe, come the end
and
of the season.
And Abu Dhabi.
Abu Dhabi, yeah. There. Yeah, Gasly did well there. So it was kind of, you know, you can't just pin it on Alpine were lucky in Brazil.
Finish, wasn't it?
Exactly. But what I'm always impressed with Williams is, of course, obviously they kind of inadvertently sacrificed 2024 as, you know, they basically banked on the last 10 years or so of we were on a car with as little downforce as possible, so we're quick on the fast tracks. And that kind of works up to a certain point. But they kind of obviously said for last year, actually, we're not going to do that anymore. We're going to try and build an all-round car that will probably damage us long-term, which it did, but will benefit...
Not long-term. Sorry,
damage us short-term. but benefit us long term because we know then we'll have built up the skills to be able to actually develop a car for a long, you know, for a season on a variety of tracks.
Exactly. It's like in football, if you counterattack pace abuse the whole time, that gets you survival if you're lucky, but it doesn't, you can't build an actual good team off the back of that.
You can't win games. You can't win.
Exactly. That's the F1
seasons.
Equivalent is, you know, they've gone from getting a lucky sixth place at Canada and Monza to, like actually having an all-round car, which doesn't grab the headlines as much, but they've got a good foundation to build off now. And this year's car does have a lot of changes, but again, I'm not Gary Anderson from the race, so instead I'll read what he thinks. And
we love you, Gary.
Exactly, come on the podcast, please. It's got a new push rod suspension. Have I got that right? Is it yes?
Well, they were using Mercedes rear suspension. They were using a year-old Mercedes suspension beforehand. So, last year's Williams
package
was on 2023 suspension. This year's Williams is on this year's Mercedes package.
Yes. So, in fact, we've got a partial Mercedes reveal in this Williams as well. So, yeah.
Except for the fact Mercedes has already gone to pull rod. Yeah, because they were on push rod in 23. Mercedes has already gone to pull rod last year, so we knew they were sticking with that.
No, this is push rod now.
Oh, sorry, you keep saying it the wrong way around. This is terrible.
Yes, the car has changed to look more like a front-running car, basically. Last year, by the end of the season, they were throwing whatever parts they had left at it, to be honest, after 17 major crashes or whatever it was. Hopefully, for the driver's sake, this car is a bit more predictable, a bit more drivable, and a bit faster.
Well,
I'm sure
Yeah,
it'll be made to look better regardless, because the two drivers, well, the average driver quality has definitely stepped up.
Exactly. They've made a big upgrade, haven't they? I mean, again, you look kind of at the back of the car, everything seems to be kind of a bit more aggressive of, you know, it kind of gives me the idea that Williams, obviously, we're trying all these things in 2024 and now I've got a better idea of what they want to be aiming for them, ready for 2025. But can we also talk about, obviously, the biggest thing? Because teams weren't allowed to do livery reveals, obviously, pre the F1 75 show, which we'll talk about in a second. But obviously, Williams had a new huge deal with Atlassian, which is an Australian kind of software and development company, which obviously, first of all, huge money in the bank for Williams. It's their first title sponsorship since 2019, which I believe was Rocket, which obviously then fell through anyway. But obviously, so huge amount of money coming into the piggy bank. And also, as we've kind of, you know, it was that huge article that was probably more famous than it ever deserved to be last year, of course, of Vowles going, up until I came in, Williams did everything to develop the car in an Excel spreadsheet, which is slightly alarming in 2024.
Yeah, they were still working in the 90s.
Exactly. Atlassian will be able to develop them bespoke and personal systems that will be able to work for Williams. Exactly. So, although, again, you know, we might not see the benefits of that on the car short term, it is, again, another huge leap forward to Williams kind of hopefully not being backmarkers forever.
Yeah. And to be honest, they haven't been pure backmarkers in a few years now. But, yeah.
They've still been there or thereabouts.
They have been there or thereabouts.
Towards the rear of the field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. And if they can avoid the crashes that they had last year, they should be okay. Because that would have cost them an awful lot of money in itself. Just the amount of times, like Brazil, what was it, four major crashes? They couldn't
even
race
Albon.
Three
or four, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
The last thing they want to do is bring Lance Stroll back, is all I'm going to say there.
Exactly, that'll just make it worse.
Anyway, should we go into our F1 75 hype kind of launch, whatever? I mean,
we're so hyped.
Jamie and I are, as you guys will have probably learned on the show, we're F1's old breed. We're the kind of 70-year-old man with lots of cash that Bernie Ecclestone, we haven't got. Jamie's got lots of cash,
skiing all
the time. but we're kind of like the old men that still watch Formula One and complain about back in my day, this and that.
We'd watch it without all this rubbish going on.
Exactly. All this F1 75. It's been hosted by Jack Whitehall, and I don't know how you guys feel about that. I'm gonna do a live watch along tomorrow night on my Twitch. I'm gonna announce that now. Cheeky plug.
I'm not around.
Jamie's not available for this, so he's managed to get himself out of this one. I'm just expecting it to be cringe. Honestly, it's gonna be painful. It's meant to be 2 hours long. Is this gonna be a one-time thing? Do we reckon F1 76?
They've got to take that. That's quite cool.
You've never sounded more like a middle-aged woman than it's got take that. That's quite cool.
Well, yeah, that'll be all right. I've got some predictions that I thought about pre-show.
Okay.
My predictions are there is minimum of an hour that is wasted time where they're talking nonsense.
Yep.
About
interviews and this kind of
or
thing.
Or interludes with Jack Whitehall, who doesn't know anything about F1. Or
maybe he does. Yeah. Who knows?
Maybe he does, but I doubt it. My other prediction, the Ferrari will be red.
No way. I can't wait for it to be black.
My third prediction, because all the drivers are there, aren't they?
Have to be, I believe.
Yeah. Max Verstappen will absolutely hate being there, and he will make it his mission to let the world know how much of a waste of time it is.
Yep, because he doesn't even do his job.
Well, Kimi Raikkonen did that for 20 years and everyone loved him, so...
Exactly, you know. That's because Kimi was cool.
And Max isn't, and you're very cool, qualified to say who's cool and who isn't.
Can I just bring back a quote? Can I rewind the tapes just for a second? Oh, they've got take that! That's quite cool.
Exactly. Exactly that. Every team will say they're trying to make progress.
Every team will mention 2026 just to hedge their bets.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be nice to see Hamilton in a red suit officially for the first time, which is going to be good. Oscar Piastri, I think his interview will be hilarious because obviously it just will be because he's Oscar Piastri and he is actually like Kimi Raikkonen and does it in a cool way as well. but it's 2 hours long. Let's place bets right now, Jamie. How many minutes into the show will it be before we actually? Because I'm sure they'll do all the. Will they do all the cars in one go? Or will it be one by one?
No, it'll be one by one. I think.
So how long into the show do you think? How many minutes in do you think it'll be before we actually see our first car?
Well, I'd like to think every team will get 10 minutes, like front to back. So that only leaves.
That leaves you 20 minutes at the start.
So I'm thinking 15 minutes at the start. They'll do an opener. They'll have the Brian Tyler theme. Take that or play Patience or something. To
just try and get everyone to wait for the cars to show up.
And then we'll see the McLaren. Or maybe we'll see the Sauber first. They might go reverse order.
Do you think they would? I don't know whether they would. Right, here we go. It's another bet then, isn't it? Reverse or championship order?
I reckon I'm going to go third and say it'll be random.
I reckon they'll have to. They'll do Ferrari first, surely.
Well, it's going to be red.
Yeah.
Everyone knows.
But it's Ferrari, and they've got Hamilton there, Jamie. It's like, this
but
is
the problem is,
the
if
story
they do Ferrari
line.
First, if they do Ferrari first, everyone will stop watching.
Exactly. So get the good one out of the way.
Maybe.
So you reckon they'll do Ferrari last, but they'll mess up the timing, so Ferrari got 2 minutes
Ferrari
right at the end.
Got 2 minutes. Hamilton will say, I'm so glad to be here. Ciao, Bella. And then leave.
Exactly. I mean, to be fair, I think that's probably what he'd rather do. Colin, right, so you're saying 15 minutes in, we will see our first car.
Yes.
I'm going to go more aggressive than that. I'm going to say it's going to take 28 minutes for the first car to be shown. And you're suggesting random order as your second bet.
I think random order. The other thing, do you think they'll all actually do their 2025 liveries?
They have to.
Oh, they have to. Okay.
Yes.
I was thinking Red Bull might just...
They have to do the
one.
Car and the livery, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. Well, we'll see. Do you think we'll get an Abu Dhabi 2021 mention?
I can imagine so. Unless Jack Whitehall feels passionately about it, and he's going to go rogue. That could be quite fun.
Imagine he's just like MV0. Void lap 55. Lap 50.
Just gets his t-shirt out. Void lap 55. Oh, dearie me. I'm sure. Actually, Jamie, that's the other one we've got to place bets on. Just stop oil protesters.
Nah.
You don't reckon? I reckon.
Well,
there
might be some, but they won't get
on
stage.
They'll throw it at the McLaren and realise it looks exactly the same.
Oh, yeah. They'll actually do the McLaren a favour. They'll make it more orange. Right.
I mean,
that's
just
enough nonsense.
I mean, we'll talk more. Are we going to do a show later on this week, like a 20-minute one, just to talk about it?
We could.
I mean, I'm waiting for it to be an absolute stinker, but it's like we've just got to live in the meme, haven't we?
Exactly.
What else have we got to talk to? We've got a few rule changes. Oh, Drive to Survive, apparently. If we've just gone from one cringe to another.
Exactly. I'm not going to watch it.
I don't think I watched the last one, I don't believe.
No, I didn't. And you can just predict the storyline already. Around Daniel Ricciardo, can't you? So
there's going to be a Daniel Ricciardo storyline. There's going to
be an Alpine storyline.
There'll be a McLaren Flexi-Wing storyline. There will obviously be a Hamilton Ferrari storyline.
Yeah.
That they try and make it out like it happens mid-season rather than pre-last year.
That'll be the only one that's worth watching, probably.
Probably. They've got to do that like episode one, you'd hope, wouldn't you?
There might be a Red Bull one. They absolutely love Christian.
There'll be a Red Bull one with Newey leaving, which still seems mad that was last year. There'll be a world championship storyline where they try and hype it up and this, that,
and then there'll
other.
Be a pointless one about Sonoda against Lawson or something.
There'll be a Colapinto one, surely. Mm-hmm. Colapinto coming in. I guarantee you Sargent won't feature at all apart from crashes.
I swear Joe has never been in any episodes. In 3 years of F1.
Hey, no, he has. Do you not remember last year's? No matter what was happening, they'd have to put in his Silverstone flip. From 2022,
oh, yes,
wasn't
true.
It?
I mean, one of the talking head interviews, I swear he's never been in it.
I think he has. I thought he was
maybe
in 2022.
I'll have to go rewatch it.
They just do like a random clip of like Ferrari Mercedes having a battle, and suddenly Joe's in the background upside down, flying off Silverstone turn one, just for no reason whatsoever.
Exactly.
But there we go. We've given you what Drive to Survive is going to look like this year. When is Drive to Survive coming out, Jamie? You brought it up.
That is a great
He didn't
question.
Even know.
I know
brought
it's
it up,
soon.
He didn't even know. I think it's like the 6th or
7th
something.
Of March.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, that's
far,
that's
right.
Not for a while, actually.
That's still, yeah, it's only a week before season opener, isn't it? Because it always comes out like a Friday, yeah. There you go. Rule changes for the for this year, Jay. We have got a few, haven't we, which is nice.
Yeah, I didn't know about any of these until this morning.
Which I don't get. We're on a podcast called Known Wheel, Jamie. This is the kind of thing we've got to keep up with. I was aware of all of these, or pretty much all of these, that made sense.
Yes, the most major one, I would say, is probably the fastest lap point.
Mm.
That's gone.
Yeah,
we knew about that for a while, but well, some of us.
Well, you'd forgot. Yeah, exactly. Jamie, before we started, he went, they get rid of the fastest lap point, are they, this year? And yes. He went, when did they announce that? I went, Singapore last year. Or
yeah,
after
about
Singapore.
6 months ago.
Exactly. Last September.
Yeah. So it never made any difference. Obviously, it's been in since 2019. And I don't think it decided anything.
Not long term, no. I mean, like, we discussed this pre-show. It could have potentially changed 2021. Just if Max and Lewis hadn't gone into Abu Dhabi tied on points. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of by the by at this point, you know. No one still feels upset about that.
No, not at all. Everyone's gone
but
over it
now. Yeah, it just ended up being just a bit boring, didn't it? And kind of just turned the end
quite
of races occasionally
well.
Into a bit of a farce, quite predictable. And also, really, it was. Well, like we said, the straw that broke the camel's back was, of course, you know, AlphaTauri giving Ricciardo the opportunity for a last race send-off and not actually the fact Red Bull were pooing their pants that McLaren and Lando could be getting quicker. So, yeah, that was quite funny. Although there was a bit of a sweet irony, wasn't there, that, V-Carb, it was Ricciardo, that denied McLaren their first Grand Chelem since 1999,
yeah.
Which was quite funny.
Yeah, it was, but that was all. That was just because they were scared, basically, because Norris was going to get the fastest lap. And obviously, when you've got that many cars, you might as well.
Exactly. When you've got twice as many cars as anybody else on the grid, you may as well try and do these kind of things. We've got a driver cooling system for the new year as well, which, you know, we've kind of known about for a long time. Staggered, it hasn't been a thing before now.
Yeah.
But of course, obviously, with more races
Dallas
in the
86, to be honest.
Well, exactly. And to be fair, it was for some of the drivers. It's like Rosberg 1, wasn't it? He had ice in his helmet or something.
Wow.
Stop him getting a headache. Pretty much.
Wow. Maybe that's what Nico did in 2016 as well.
No, that's too much weight. I reckon Nico would rather have hallucinations, exactly, than try and do anything like that.
I'm surprised he didn't go bald for the back end of that season, to be honest.
Well, as we just, I think I'd argue that's still the funniest moment we've ever had on the show is if Rosberg had lost Abu Dhabi,
yeah.
But like with no eyebrows because he
no
shaved
eyebrows.
Every hair off his body, which still just the thought of that makes me laugh to this day. Obviously, yeah, we've got the new cooling system, which is going to add 5 kilos to the overall car weight. So again, Formula One cars are getting heavier, ladies and gents, because we love that.
Exactly. But it's been needed because that Qatar 2024 yeah. race, wasn't it? It was a bit of a joke, really. I thought it was quite cool. And only, you know, the only driver to quit was the worst driver on the grid. So clearly, the real drivers are all absolute.
Wasn't he also very ill that weekend anyway? I thought.
Potentially. But they were all ill afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. So. Here's a fun one for you, Jamie, because I was watching something with, I can't remember his name now, I know his face, but from Formula E. Since Formula E came in 2014, apart from circuits in the Middle East, has Formula One added a track that isn't a street race?
Technically, LaSalle.
But that's apart from the Middle East.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
the only one I can think of that isn't a street
F1
circuit.
Added that many. I mean, Sochi came in 2014, didn't it? That was.
That's
a street
track. That is a street track, technically.
Mm,
technically, it was. It was technically a street track, though.
It was rubbishly purpose-built.
It was awful. Yeah, what was the purpose of building it is what we all wonder still.
Yeah, to be honest. The fake second Russian one that we're never going to see.
Well, Agora Drive, that was also partly street circuit.
Vietnam was a street circuit, wasn't it, in Hanoi?
Vietnam was going to be a street circuit, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure we have seen a new track that isn't a street track. So what's the point? I guess circuits are very expensive to build these days. No one's going to build a new purpose-built circuit, really.
Well, it's no one Formula One's trying to become Formula E, isn't it? That's
well,
the main
just because that's where the fans are. They try and take the race to the fans, so people don't need to travel an hour out of their cities. So, yeah, I do get it, but to be honest, in the economic climate of the world, I don't see people making purpose built tracks that make money one weekend a year. To be honest,
who builds race? Like, are any racetracks being actually being built anymore? Like, just
well, yeah, that's
ones
what I
we've
mean.
Got.
So therefore, you're not going to see any new purpose built tracks like COTA anymore.
The only one I can think of in recent years was that mad lad in Japan, a billionaire. What's the name of the track? I can never pronounce it. Here we go. Japanese billionaire racetrack. Magaragawa. Have you ever seen this? Type it in, Jamie, onto Google. You'll love it.
I mean, that doesn't sound like I can pronounce it or spell it.
Magarigawa.
And the new Saudi Arabian one with the jump at turn one, the Rainbow Road track.
Oh, yeah, we haven't seen that yet. Qadir.
We haven't seen that yet. But again, in the Middle East.
Are you having a look at this circuit?
It looks like the Top Gear Ebola drone.
Oh, no, it looks much better than that. Like, you can never host a Formula One Grand Prix, but I've taken a Formula One car around a mod here and a set of
It does look quite cool.
This Japanese billionaire was wanted somewhere because apparently he used to go to, I think it was, Okayama, which, fun fact, Jamie, was the last ever race before Imola that Senna entered. Not such a fun fact, I guess.
Not that fun,
There we are. But he used to go to Okayama. But apparently now they have too many race events on, so he just built his own racetrack out in the mountains that like other billionaires can come to. It's like something a James Bond villain would build that is far more interested in his race cars than actually taking over the world. And I love it. It's such a cool circuit.
It does look very cool. So, yeah. I guess, is Miami a purpose-built track?
Miami was a street circuit.
Yeah.
Technically,
yeah. The problem is, no one's going to build a new track from scratch these days, just because no one's got any money. So you might as well make another Baku or another Miami or another Vegas. So what can you do? Just bring back Hockenheim, please.
Bring back Hockenheim. Bring back the Nürburgring.
They can alternate. I don't want both.
Where's some other circuits we could bring back, Jamie, that have gone
recently? Magny-Cours? That's too small for modern cars, really, isn't it?
I think actually Magny-Cours would work all right, because I still play F1 Championship Edition. Magny-Cours did not go well for me, fun fact. But I think that would be quite cool. I mean, let's be fair, like Le Castellet, as much as we gave it stick, its last couple of Grand Prix were actually pretty good.
Its last one Grand Prix was good.
No, last two were good, if I remember correctly.
What was it? Was 2021 was its last one, wasn't it? No,
22.
Oh,
yeah.
Leclerc crashed. That was funny.
Yeah,
bring
Leclerc
it back.
Binned it. Yeah, Magny-Cours. I mean, the fact we still don't have a proper French Grand Prix, like, just give us a track in Paris if you're that worried. That'd be quite cool. We've gone very much down a tangent here because we were meant to be talking about some of the, obviously, the new changes to 2025.
We have.
What else have we got? More running for rookies. So good. FP1 now is going to feature twice the amount of track time. For drivers that have not competed in two or more Grand Prix.
Although, so like all the drivers who are rookies this year, which is like half the grid, it feels like. So,
but yeah. Behrmann won't be able to.
Alpine, not Behrmann, but Alpine, Mercedes, Toro Rosso.
Doohan's only going to get four Grand Prix anyway, so that doesn't matter.
He's already had one too. So like, but for Mercedes and AlphaTauri and Sauber, they'll have two out of their four ticked off by the end of round two.
Yep. It does work quite well for them.
It does work quite well for them. DRS and Flexi Wings are being clamped down on, which is bad news for Lando Norris. Because, the McLaren is probably the most susceptible to a bit of flexing last year.
Well, they made it work, didn't they? Which was, you say Lando Norris, it was actually, obviously, Oscar Piastri that won the Grand Prix that kind of raised all this.
Yeah, true. And then qualifying has gone... I mean, it's an absolute null point anyway, because it's never going to happen, but... In the event where qualifying can't be finished, such as Brazil was probably the closest to that this year, but I'm thinking Australia 2015, I believe.
14, wasn't it?
Q2 and Q3 were on different days. That kind of thing. Now, if they can't finish quali in time, they're just going to decide based on random things like championship order. Or
star sign. Practice. How much Jack Whitehall liked you at the F175 launch party. Fan vote, all this.
They should actually do a fan vote. That'd be quite funny.
They shouldn't. It was terrible. Jamie, do you want me to give you an idea?
Did they do an FE thing?
Formula E does fan, or used to do fan vote, Jamie. Do you know why they scrapped it?
Why?
Because it was something mad. Like, in all 46 appearances where he was there for when fan vote was also a thing, Stoffel van Dorn won it every single time. And Stoffel van Dorn is not someone I associate with having a diehard loyal fan base.
No, exactly. It's just somebody people have heard of.
I mean, it would probably be Lewis, I would imagine.
If it's like an app, then all of the Lewis fans would be too old for that. So.
No, they get it. Lewis hasn't just got old fans. What are you on about?
I think it would be...
Here we go. Go on, say it. Go on, say it. Interesting. I think you're going to say Max.
No, I don't think it'd be Max. Because everyone's a Ferrari fan.
Even if you're not a Ferrari fan.
What they should do is they should get a panel of people who know what they're talking about, such as ourselves. And we should decide, and they should give it to somebody who will make the race more interesting.
How much boost are we saying this is worth?
Like 50 horsepower for a certain
50 horsepower? I was going to say, that's mad. Oh, just for brief periods. Okay.
Like Kurs, yeah, back in the day.
Okay,
like
okay.
You get Kurs for a couple of laps.
I'm going to say then Lance Stroll. Just to watch him still qualify but like, 3 tenths behind.
You know, in... what was a race where someone was closing someone down right at the end? Give me an example.
Like Imola, for example, last year.
Yeah. So Imola, you could just give it to Norris just to make the race more interesting.
Yeah, that would be interesting, wouldn't it? Anyway, again, we've kind of gone down a bit of a tangent, but yeah, they are
exactly.
Tweaking.
Let us know your wacky rules. What would you make changes?
Exactly.
To
what would you change to Formula One to make it better? I'd say
get rid of Lance Stroll.
Get rid of Lance Stroll. That's our rule next year. Lance Stroll banned. Be fantastic. The last great one, Jamie, which I think is a throwback to 2008-2009. We're finally bringing back mule cars for the pro season testing, which I love. Because if you type into Google F1 2008 mule cars, some of the stuff that shows up is incredible. Like where teams and stuff didn't know what was going on with the new regs. Like, look how cursed that McLaren looks and things like that.
Oh dear. That McLaren's put a bit of weight, hasn't it?
Exactly. Great. Absolutely love that. Like, that kind of thing I think is so cool.
It's like unraced liveries. They're always going to be quite cool, aren't they?
Exactly.
The camo bull back in the day.
Yeah, beautiful. Beautiful. I think we've discussed everything we wanted to, haven't we, Jamie? We've kind of rattled through some random bits and pieces. It's gonna be one of those more housekeeping shows, hasn't it? Oh, I've got you a quiz. Last thing, because we're gonna bring back quizzes. I'm gonna give you 1 minute, Jamie.